word Shraddha and the meaning of Buddha. What is a Buddha? I spoke about the Buddha as a stage in the evolutionary process, that the teaching of the Buddha is actually the teaching about how the human being evolves to a higher level. The ordinary level was called the Putujjana level, the Putujjana. The word Putujjana means the common people, the common people, and that is the what is psychologists call the normal people and the normal way. And from that normal way, we have to evolve to a higher level. And that higher level is called the Arya level, Arya. That Arya, the word Arya, which is usually translated as noble, it is not mere noble, it's a supernormal state. The Buddha was trying to raise the normal human being to a supernormal level, and that is called the Arya level. And it is also called superhuman, Uttari Manusya. Uttari Manusya means a superhuman level, because the normal human being is full of weaknesses. That weakness is that we become angry very easily, we become greedy very easily, we are very selfish, self-centered. Now all those weaknesses have to be removed. That is how we evolve. So the evolutionary process is not like the biological evolution. Biological evolution is something that happens automatically, unconsciously. But this is a psychological evolution. Psychological means that it is the evolution of the mind. And the evolution of the mind is the evolution of consciousness. Now there are animals who are not fully conscious. But we human beings, of course, think we are fully conscious. But in actual fact, we are not fully conscious. We are still like dreaming. So this is why the Buddha is trying to make the human being evolve, which means it is the evolution of consciousness. And the evolution of consciousness has to be done consciously. That means each individual has to make the effort to evolve. So it cannot happen automatically. And so this evolutionary process, which every person has to follow, is what is called today the Noble Eightfold Path. It is not noble. I don't translate that as the Noble Eightfold Path. I call it the supernormal Eightfold Way. Supernormal because it is a way that leads the normal person to a supernormal level. And a person who has entered this path is called a sotapanna. A sotapanna. Sota means the stream. Sotapanna means to enter the stream. Now this is an analogy. It is like the river that ultimately flows into the ocean. So if you put a log into the river, it will begin to float and it will be carried by the current of the water and ultimately reach the ocean. So in a similar way, if a person enters this stream, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, or the supernormal eightfold way, you begin to gradually move towards Nibbana. Nibbana is like the ocean. So entering the stream means, if you have heard of the Noble Eightfold Path, which we mentioned earlier, which is Samma Ditti, Samma Sankappa, Samma Vacha, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva, Samma Vayama, Samma Sati, and Samma Samadhi. Samma Ditti means the proper understanding of the Dhamma. The Dhamma has to be properly understood. When the Dhamma is properly understood, you are not just learning a theory. You are understanding a problem that you have in your own mind. There is a problem in the mind. We discussed all this, so I don't want to go into great detail about the problem. But the main problem is our emotions. Our emotions are blind. And these blind emotions come in conflict with reality. We are aware of the reality through our thinking process. That means when we speak of the mind, there are two parts. One is what is called chitta, the other is what is called mano. Mano is the thinking part, chitta is the emotional part. Now in modern psychology, these two parts are called the cognitive and the affective. The affective is the emotional part, the cognitive is the thinking part. Now, the thinking part is aware of reality, whereas the emotional part is not aware of reality. And this emotional part comes in conflict with reality. So it is the thinking part that has to gain control over the emotional part and direct the emotions in the right way. And that is what a normal person is doing. But the normal person is not able to do it properly. This is why we tend to get angry and do various things, that destructive things to oneself as well as others, and then we repent later. It is not only anger, our passion, our lust can do similar destructive things, and ultimately we'll have to even go to prison, or maybe worse things can happen. And so, we are carried away by our emotions. Our reason is not able to completely gain control over the emotions. So this is why, this is the problem with the normal person. But the supernormal person is ultimately the arahant. The arahant is the supernormal person, completely supernormal. But the sotapanna, one who enters the stream, is in the process of gradual moving towards the stage of the arahant. So the sotapanna simply is the person who has got the right view, sammaditti. It is by getting the right view, by understanding the Dhamma, that you enter the stream. And when we enter the stream, the sotapanna will be turning the direction in a different direction. Normally, when a desire arises, we go to fulfill the desire. When we become angry, we want to go and take revenge. When we become frightened, we want to run away. That is the normal way. But the sotapanna having understood the Dhamma, will begin to gain control over these emotions. When you become angry, instead of trying to take revenge, you begin to get rid of the anger. Make the effort to get rid of the anger. When passion, lust comes into the mind, instead of trying to satisfy the desire, you begin to gain control over the desire. When the fear arises, instead of trying to run away, you begin to gain control over it. By gaining control over the emotions, your mind becomes calmed, tranquil. It is through tranquility of mind that we can be free of emotions, not by fighting with the emotions. When we begin to fight with the emotions or suppress the emotions, it doesn't work. The only way is to learn to calm the mind. And so, this is why this kind of meditation that is done to calm the mind is called Samatha Bhavana, tranquility meditation. Today, those who talk about stress and stress management, they are also talking about this same problem. And they adopt methods like relaxation techniques and even meditation, they recommend, to gain control over the emotions. But the Buddha taught the right way long before the Western people got interested in this. So, anyway, we also have to understand that the normal emotion really starts at the thinking part. It starts according to how we interpret our circumstances. It is our interpretation of circumstances that lead to the emotional excitement, agitation. So it is by changing our thinking that we can gain control over the emotion, not by fighting with the emotion. Because emotion is a physical thing, more than mental. Emotion is physical. Because when you think or interpret a situation in a certain way, say some person comes here and shouts, and if you take that as an insult, that is, you have interpreted that as an insult. And because you interpreted it as an insult, now you become angry. But if you interpreted that as a joke, then you will be laughing. You won't become angry. So everything depends on how you interpret. Now, we have been collecting habits of wrong interpretation from childhood. This is the problem. From childhood, because as a child, when the child begins to meet certain circumstances, the child begins to interpret these circumstances in the wrong way because of lack of experience in the world. And these interpretations are stored in the mind, and then in adult life you carry those same interpretations and you have a wrong way of looking at life, looking at people. And so you begin to cultivate wrong ways of reacting to situations. And those habits continue. And this is why it is necessary to rethink and examine these interpretations and correct our way of thinking. And that changing the way we think is what is called vipassana bhavana. Now, people wanted to know about vipassana meditation. What is vipassana meditation? Vipassana is really learning to change the mano part. Changing the chitta part is samatha bhavana. Changing the mano part is vipassana bhavana. Now, changing our thinking part is not easy because our emotions come in conflict. Most of our wrong thinking is due to emotions. It is the emotion that changes our thinking into the wrong way, really. So first we must learn to calm the mind, and only when the mind is calmed, it is only then that we can start thinking in the right way. And in doing this, the method is what is called introspection. Introspection means looking within. Once the mind is calmed, we have to look within and see how our thoughts begin to create emotions. Now, there was this psychologist called Sigmund Freud who started using a method of his own, which he called psychoanalysis. And that was what he called letting a person begin to just speak out whatever comes into the mind. Now, that way, of course, the analyst can read the mind of that person because he's thinking aloud. When he's thinking aloud, another person can know what that person is thinking. Because otherwise you can't read the other person's mind. Unless, of course, you have gained some powers like that. During the time of the Buddha could read others' minds. Or even some of the arahants could do that. But today we don't have many people who can read other people's minds. So the only way is to get the person to think aloud, which is to speak out whatever comes to the mind. And so the analyst can observe the thinking and then find out where it is wrong and correct it. Now, the Buddha's method is not for an analyst to keep on looking at the person and correct it. The Buddha's method is to get a person to look at his own mind. And the way you do it is what is called satipatthana. The word satipatthana is very important but very badly understood, very badly translated, and the real meaning doesn't come out in the translation. Because people call it mindfulness. Mindfulness simply means that when you are doing something, you must be aware of what you are doing. That is the meaning of mindfulness. But that is not the meaning of satipatthana. Sati means attention. Attention. This is the meaning of sati. Attention. Now, your attention can be focused on anything. Now, when I talk, you can focus your attention on what I am talking. Or you can focus your attention on the statue of the Buddha. Or you can focus your attention on my hands, which are moving like this. So you will begin to understand what I am saying only if you begin to focus attention on what I am saying. Or you can be focusing your attention on something else and be dreaming. So the important thing is this attention. Now the problem is that normally we are focusing our attention on what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch. That is what we are focusing our attention on. That is the meaning of consciousness. We are conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch. So our attention is focused on external things. So I call that extroverted attention. Extroverted attention. Attention that is focused on external things. What happens when we focus our attention on external things? When we see something pleasant, a desire arises. We are not doing it. We don't think, now I must desire this and then begin to do it. That's not how it happens. We don't even know that the desire has arisen. And we can't even control it. Even if we want to stop that desire, we can't do it. If it is something unpleasant, a hatred arises. So we are constantly focusing our attention on external things and reacting emotionally. So that the emotional reaction is creating the problem. A young man walking along the road sees a nice, attractive girl. Suddenly the attention comes and emotions are excited. Why? It just happens. It happens not because some god is doing that or a devil is doing it. It is simply happening due to the presence of the necessary conditions. That is what is called the paticca samuppada. What I call determinism. Determinism means that everything that happens, happens due to the presence of conditions, the necessary conditions. And the condition necessary here is that first you have to have your eyes open, that is one condition. If your eyes are closed, you won't see anything. But it is only when your eyes are open that you begin to see something. And the other thing is, other condition is that that object that is seen must come into your visual field. your field of vision. It is only when that object comes there that you will see it, when your eyes are open. So that is the second condition that is necessary for this emotion to be aroused. But there is a third condition. And that third condition is thinking about that object. Oh, how beautiful. Then the attraction comes. If you think like that. Or if it is something ugly, hatred arises. Because it starts by thinking, oh, how ugly. Now it is not possible to close your eyes all the time and live. It's not possible. And it is also not possible for things to come into your vision, your field of vision. But there is only one thing that is that you can gain control over, and that is thinking about what you see. But not only that, you can also direct your attention away from that. Your attention, instead of focusing on that, you can focus on something else. Now, if it is possible for you to take your attention away from that object and focus on what is going on inside you, then you might see my heart is beating faster, or my breathing is now becoming heavy, or there are tensions coming up in my body. I'm having some kind of feeling inside. Now, you become aware of whatever is going on inside you. So your attention is now focused not on the external object, but you are focusing it inwards. That introversion of attention, that is what I call introversion of attention. Instead of extroversion of attention, now you begin to introvert the attention. That introversion of attention is what is called satipatthana. The word satipatthana comes from sati upatthana. Sati means attention, upa means inside, thana is to place. So placing the attention inside. Now this is easy to say, but very difficult to do. So therefore the Buddha said there are two steps. One is what is called guarding the senses, indriya sangvara. Indriya sangvara is guarding the senses. Guarding the senses means whenever you see something, you don't think about it. You don't think about how it is pleasant or how it is unpleasant. You take your attention away from that, instead of thinking about it. Now, when you do that, still, now, that thing that you saw is an image. And that image is called a perceptual image. That is a perceptual image. That means you have perceived something. But it is still a mental image that you are seeing. Although you think you are seeing something there, but actually it's all in your head. It's a mental image. It's a perceptual mental image. But although you take your attention away from that, and you may be going away to another place, but still a memory image will remain in your mind. If you enjoyed looking at that, the memory comes to your mind. And when the memory image comes into your mind, again your emotions are excited. So the second step is to learn to get your mind away from the memory image. So you have to take your mind away from the memory image. Without doing that, you cannot remove that emotion from your mind. So there are two processes. One is to take your attention from the perceptual image, which is called guarding the senses, Indriya Samvara. The second is what is called Prahana. Prahana is where you take your attention away from the memory image. Prahana. Now, having done that, you begin to focus your attention inside. Inside means your body first. That is called Kayanupassana. Kayanupassana is to focus on the body. And then you begin to focus on how the body feels, the feeling in the body. If you have been reacting, you begin to feel that reaction in the body. That is the Vedana Anupassana. Feeling the reaction in the body. Then you begin to observe the emotion that has been aroused. Whether it is coming in the form of passion, or whether it is coming in the form of anger, or whether it is coming in the form of fear, or in the form of worry, whatever the form of that emotion you are able to observe. That is called the Chittanupassana. Chittanupassana. Then you begin to observe the thought in your mind, the concept. How you interpret your situation, that is the thought. Now the thought contains the mental image and a verbal part. You form sentences about that image that you saw. That thinking process in the form of sentences. That is the meaning of Dhammanupassana. So when we speak of Dhammanupassana, we are referring to the thoughts. That means, now we spoke of the chitta and the mano. Mano is the thinking part. And the thinking part, what it does is forming thoughts. The word Dhamma is not just the teaching of the Buddha. Dhamma means thoughts. That is important to understand. Now, Chakku means the eye. Rupa means what is seen with the eye. Sota means the ear. The sound that is heard is called the sadda. The nose is called ghana. The smell is called gandha. The tongue is called jivha. And the taste is called rasa. And the body is called kaya, and what is touched is called potthabha. Then mano is that thinking part, and the ideas are called dhamma. Mano, dhamma. Like chakku and rupa, mano, dhamma. Now when we say dhammanupassana, we are referring to that dhamma, not just the teaching of the Buddha. So this is the important thing. So when we are able to understand, observe this, that is the meaning of vipassana bhavana. Not just raising the leg and putting it down. That is not the vipassana bhavana. Vipassana bhavana is to become aware of these four satipatthanas: kayanupassana, vedananupassana, chittanupassana, and dhammanupassana. That is the vipassana. Passana is to see, observe. It is really observation. You observe the body, you observe the sensations or feelings in the body, observe the emotions, and you observe the thoughts. That is the meaning of vipassana. Vipassana means, vi means separation. Now yoga, viyoga. Yoga means you unite something, put together something. Viyoga means to separate. So that the V prefix is separation. So, Vipassana means you look at your experience analytically, you by separating. That is what is called psychoanalysis. The real psychoanalysis is the vipassana. You are analyzing the mind. But analyzing the mental process, mind is not an entity, it is an activity. So when you analyze the mind, you are not like cutting something into pieces. Like the anatomy of the body. Anatomy of the body means you can separate the pieces in the body. But when you analyze the mind, you are really not cutting things into pieces, but observing the mental process in its parts. Parts of the process. That means first something happens, then another thing happens, then another thing happens, like that. It's a series of activities. A series of activities. Now, what is this series? This series is the reaction of an organism to environmental stimulation. In other words, you begin to see that there is no you or I inside this body or the brain or any place. There is no I. There is no person. This body is like a machine. And this is a reaction. When you begin to see this reaction, you begin to see that there is no person here doing anything. There is no self. We have only called these things myself by personalizing these things. You begin to see your parts of this process. You begin to see the parts of what is called perception. The process of perception itself, you begin to see. That means when you open your eyes, what do you see? The only thing that you can see when you open your eyes is color, nothing else. Color is all that you see. You don't see objects. What you see is color. Now, when some person paints a picture, what is that person, the artist or the painter, what does that painter use? Color. Different colors are used and lines or things drawn. Simply color is being put on the paper. That is all. So when we go and look, what do we see? Color. But when we see this color, what happens? We begin to create images. Our mind is creating the image. Our mind is creating the image. So the image that we see is a creation of the mind. That creation is what is called sankhara. Sankhara means creation. Now what you see, the color, is what is called vedana and sanya. Sanya means that thing that you see. If you see a blank sheet of paper, that color is what you see. If you see a line drawn on that, then you see a line, which is also color. If the line takes the shape of a circle, then of course you see that. But when you say circle, again you have created an idea, you have interpreted what you saw. And you call it a circle. If you see a triangle, then you have interpreted that and you call it a triangle. That part is sankhara. If you call it a square, then again you have created it.
Percentage of the rope.
Yeah.
You were discussing some lathas. What is the meaning of those? among the monks?
Well, the meaning of those gathas simply means that the monks have decided to give the robe to me. So it is being announced to the Sangha that the robe will be given to me. That's the main thing there. Nothing else. It is just a formal thing. So is that what was going on in the mind while I was
I think that thought was probably created in him. It's generally indicated that this is a sort of a traditional gatha that comes from long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like any other gathas.
That's right.
So I think that is the...
Yeah.
Okay, I have one question.
Yeah?
I thought Dhammanupassana means to understand, to identify the concept behind that particular thought at that particular time.
No. We are not trying to identify concepts. This is the important thing. You see, we are not getting into the concept. We are only trying to become aware that it is a concept. That's the main thing. We are not trying to get the meaning of the concept. We are trying to become aware that it is a concept. That's the important thing here. We are looking at the concept and saying it is a concept.
I thought you are trying to become aware that there is a conceptual activity.
Yeah, conceptual activity it is, yeah.
Not the concept itself.
Yeah, not the concept in the sense that the meaning of the concept. We are not interested in finding out the meaning and to see whether it is true or false or... That's not the point here. We are trying to see that it is a concept. And that concept is creating the emotion. How the concept is related to the emotion part.
Every thought based on some concept. Every thought based on one or more concepts.
Yeah, every thought is a concept. Every thought is a concept. But there are two parts, as I told you. One is the mental picture, and the other is the meaning in the form of a sentence. So there are two parts, a visual part and a verbal part. Verbal means it is in words. So, but these concepts also can have an emotional part involved in it. So when it is connected with an emotion, that is a bad thought which has to be given up. Because that thought is what produces the emotion. Because it is related to the emotion. So what we need is a thought without the emotion so that the mind becomes calm. So we have to learn to select the thoughts we think. I call it selective thinking. So that is the starting point of the meditation, selective thinking. We select the thoughts we think. We don't think every thought that comes into the mind.
I have a question.
So since this discussion was mainly about vipassana and how we can practice in our day-to-day lives,
yeah.
I just want to clarify, is it possible that since we need vipassana, in order to do vipassana, we must have a tranquil mind, a peaceful mind?
Yeah.
So in order to do that, would Swaminathan recommend Anapanasati or Satman Bhavana as a method? Because it helps with looking within and being aware of
you
what's
see, the mind. Important thing is that to calm the mind means we have to get rid of what are called the nivaranas or the hindrances. And there are five hindrances. So, to get rid of the five hindrances, we have to learn to cultivate their opposites. So, to get rid of lust or desire for pleasures, we have to practice the asubha bhavana. Now, to get rid of anger, we have to practice the metta bhavana. To get rid of emotional worries and anxieties, we must practice the anapanasati. Anapanasati in the right way is to calm the mind. So, to get rid of worries and anxieties, you practice the anapanasati. And if it is laziness and sleepiness, then you have to practice walking and moving the body.
So, since these are emotions, these anxieties, anger, desire,
yeah,
sexual
yeah,
pleasures,
yeah.
Then since we are organisms reacting to a certain stimulus within the environment, our main purpose in order to calm the mind is to take our attention away from that stimulus which is causing the reaction,
yeah.
And look within.
Yeah.
So then, okay, yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Hmm? Right, huh? You understood.
Yeah.
Good. So you may be entering the stream now. When you have understood properly, you will be entering the stream. Entering the stream is starting the supernormal eightfold process. That's the important thing. Supernormal eightfold way. Start with the Sammaditti. You know, there are some words that are badly translated and therefore doesn't give the meaning. There is this Yoniso Manasikara. You know what Yoniso Manasikara means? Yoni. Yoni means the origin. Yoni is the origin. Yoniso Manasikara means to think in terms of the origin. Origin means not the origin of the world, but you see, to think in terms of the cause. There is a good English word for that we usually use. Reasoning. Reasoning means asking, what is the reason for this? What is the reason means? Why should this happen this way? Again, asking for the cause. That is the meaning of reasoning. But today that word reasoning has taken other meanings. But the real meaning of the word reason is to find the reason for something. That means, what is the cause? So to think in terms of causes is the yoniso manasikara. Because everything is dependent on the necessary conditions. So to examine the necessary conditions that produce this, that is the reasoning. That is the yoniso manasikara. Now children usually ask, why is this? Why did this happen? That is good. Some parents, because they don't know, they discourage that and ask, don't ask these silly questions. But that is the wrong way. They should be encouraged to ask these questions. If you don't know, then you can find the book where you can get the answer to that. So if you don't know, you must say, I don't know the answer. We should find it. When you go to school, they will teach you how to, they will give you the answer to that. So that they will then get interested in going to school, because they can get the answer. There are some teachers also who try to discourage questions when they don't know the answer. That is also wrong.
Any more questions?
No questions, because so after all these talks, most of you are enlightened.
Or maybe confused.
No, if they are confused, then they should ask questions. I don't think they are confused. They must have understood.
Shall we stop here then?
Huh?
If nobody asking questions, then...
What's that?
Shall we stop here?
Well, yeah, maybe you like to go home now. So we can stop here then.